Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast.
I'm off, I'm out. I'm
featuring
out. Phil Moore's finest, Bronte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Trades are hard.
Oh, baby, trades are hard. What are the Warriors going to do before February 6th? Trade season is coming up. It's a great time in the Bay Area. You get the Niners off season as we get to scout draft prospects and figure out free agency and money for Brock Purdy and who's going to go, who's going to be back. And then, of course, you get to go to State Warriors who are right now, are they in the box or out of the box? They're struggling right now.
They're Sacramento in 11th Kings, place. They're 19-19.
They're out of the box. Tied with the Phoenix Suns. Half game behind the Sacramento Kings, who have won seven straight games.
Friday night's game was so that Athletic didn't even write an article about him.
Slater didn't write one?
There was nothing about that
Slater.
Game.
He didn't write one? He didn't write one about Pat Spencer?
No.
Or Kuminga? You sure?
Might be suggestible.
The Guy Santos article was the last
right.
one.
Guy Santos. Shout out Guy Santos, who put together back-to-backs. All
Guy
the
Sanchez?
But no, there were
who
six guys.
Let's throw Guy Sanchez in there.
Guy Santos. It's Guy Santos. Right now they're out of the box, and they got to get some guys here. And Kuminga, Friday's game was unwatchable. I get it. Trust me, I was locked into it, and I was just like, they got no shot. There's six guys out. And the Pacers are just out here. Go down. We'll go up 11. Oh, okay, we're up 5. Okay, we'll go up 11. All right, we'll go down. We're up 4. Oh, boom, boom, boom. Mathurin hits back-to-back threes. Oh, Siakam missed. And Siakam went 12-16, and Halliburton was like 8-12. I mean, they had their way.
We're going to get back into the NFL right away. Just one last question. How many more back-to-backs are there the rest of the year?
Well, the Warriors have 14 on the season, 14. So that was their sixth back-to-back.
So we got eight more.
Eight more.
Is Curry going to play in any of them?
Well, he mentioned last week that he wants to start playing in back-to-backs. He wants to. So I do believe Steph Curry will play in some back-to-backs in the foreseeable.
So let's say he makes half those starts.
All right.
Boy, the mother four games are like almost automatic L's. I mean, pretty close to it.
It depends on who you play. But even tonight, I look at Toronto and their personnel. And on paper, their personnel matches up with the Warriors. Now, Toronto's 8-31. Right?
Wow.
They're 8-31. They lost to the Pistons by 9 Saturday. It was a close game. I was watching a little bit of it just because, you know, just prep and seeing who Toronto has. But they have some pieces here. Chris Boucher still balling up there in Toronto, coming off the bench. Bruce Brown's coming off the bench playing well. They have Jakob Poeltl down low. A lot of Warrior fans on social media love Jakob Poeltl. Scotty Barnes is averaging nearly a triple-double. RJ Barrett, he's hot and cold. But they have size and athleticism. Emmanuel Quickley, they got Grady Dick. And, you know, from Kansas, get your head out your gutter. It's okay. It's his name.
No one said anything.
We say Dick Enberg, Dick Vitale, Grady okay, Dick.
This is you. Okay.
No, it was Shasky's face. Spinotti saw his face.
I blinked.
You look good, Joe.
I literally blinked.
No, he blinked and started. He got that smile like he said the D word. He said the D word.
Okay, that's not what happened.
I was looking down at you. It's okay.
Clean it up, Auntie.
Clean what up? This is Dave, Grady Dick. He's an athletic player. So, look, the Warriors are only 4.5-point favorites. This will not be an easy game to win tonight north of the border. So, that says a lot when their
are
personnel.
Are there any easy games?
No, not anymore.
I'm just out of curiosity.
Not anymore. Not anymore. Not anymore. You better bring your hard hat every single game.
I mean, geez.
You can't just walk into the gym and roll the balls
What's
out.
What's the head coach of Toronto's name, Bonte?
Oh, he's the European guy.
Yeah.
He goes crazy.
Yeah. You got to know it. Come on. What's his name?
I'll get it. I don't know.
What's the name of their stadium?
Oh, Scotiabank Arena.
Scotiabank Arena.
Yeah. Is there at the Superfan there? Is he still going to the games?
Superfan. Yeah. Nah, Superfan. I got a selfie with Nah, Superfan.
He came to the studio back in 2019. Remember that?
Yeah. No, he came to the 95.7 studio?
Mm-hmm. I got a picture with him.
Oh, yes, he did. Yeah. He did. That's right.
6 years ago. It feels like forever ago.
Yeah, it feels like forever. He's a good dude.
Well, COVID was 10 years long. I mean, even though it was only 1 year.
Does anybody still get COVID shots around here?
I'm not on the boosters.
Because when they came out with the COVID shots, I remember how many people, oh my God, COVID shots, we got our clothes. It's like, dude, God.
Yes, COVID did not go away. The flu did not go away. You can get those shots still.
Now it's
What's the name of the coach?
Norovirus.
What's the name of the coach? Because he got kicked out. Remember he had that episode down at Crypto.com Arena last year, and he ripped the referees.
No, I don't.
He's got Novia.
Darko Rajakovic.
Yeah, Darko Rajakovic.
When you're facing a Darko Rajakovic type of a team.
Wow, that was just.
Rajakovic.
Let's throw Gui D. Sanchez in there.
Rajakovic. See, Spadoni watches hoops. Love it. I know you know. You're watching free trading highlights right now. Listen,
I wish. Carson back. Call it Carson Beck highlights.
Pitchers and catchers report next month.
A lot of highlights.
Verlander Zoom call today.
But we remember.
Zoom call, Bonte.
Just not big. That's just disappointing. Really, they're introducing him through a Zoom call. Justin Verlander, a three-time Cy Young Award winner.
Right on the golf course,
hanging out with Kate
on his phone. Yeah.
No, seriously. I'm dead serious. Justin Verlander. They're introducing him on a Zoom call?
I see it right here. Justin Verlander will meet with the media on a Zoom press conference on Monday. That's today.
That's a joke. I mean,
10 o'clock. I guess we're trying to take roll you seriously?
How can I take you seriously when you got one of the greatest pitchers in the last 30 years who's walking into the Baseball Memorial Hall of Fame? He's going to Cooperstown, and you don't have an introductory press conference in front of the Bay Area media? That is a joke to me. I'm sorry.
It's not a good look.
That's a middle of the market, middle of the pack type of move by the Giants. That's why you're fourth place in it. Yeah, these things matter. People say, oh, Bonte, get over the Zoom call. This is Justin Verlander. We want to get to touch this guy. We want to feel this guy.
Yeah, be in the same room with him. Read him as a man. Exactly. Like, get a feel for him.
Zoom call for Justin Verlander?
Press conferences are hard.
Trades are hard.
Well, think about those press conferences. It's not just the press conference. It's the press conference that happens after the press conference when all the guys go in different directions and the little scrums happen.
Exactly.
You don't get that with the Zoom. No, by the way, though, Blake Sable, DFA, to make room for Justin Verlander. Awesome. So
wait a minute.
The hits keep on coming.
Wait a minute. The Blake Sable era is over. The guy that they jammed down my throat for 2 years over Joey Bart, who had a better year than all their catchers offensively last year. And then they also signed Tom Murphy to a 2-year, $8 million extension.
That is correct.
Blake Sable, who they kept all year on the roster, put him in left field even though the guy has trash bags for hands.
Correct.
All right? That guy, you just DFA'd.
Yes, that is the exact guy. The guy that they had to keep on the roster all year long because he was a Rule 5 pick. And if they got rid of him, they would lose him back to whatever team he came for. He is now gone to make room for Justin Verlander.
I got to say... That, if we were just going to, like, circle one area that just represents Farhan, the Blake Sable-Joey Bart conundrum. The minute Joey Bart got out of here, he was like, I'll hit 14 jacks and bat, like, 260.
Look like a major league player.
Yeah, it'd just be Go fine. Well, your backup catcher situation is Jackson Reitz.
Right. No,
looks like a creative player.
Or what do you know, Joey Bart, if he gets a playing time, he could contribute.
Wow, that works out.
Wow.
Poor Blake
Go
Sable.
Figure. Go figure. And there's still Farhan Zaidi fans out there.
There's going to be someone out there punching air over this Blake Sable DFA.
I think he's worse than Balky.
Who would you rather have run
I think he's worse than Balky. Farhan Zaidi is worse. Balky actually has some okay drafts.
He does.
I mean, come on. He has some okay drafts. You can say what you want. Balky has some decent drafts.
Well, you just wait till they trade away Marco Luciano.
What did Farhan Zaidi do? Like, he did. He's probably the. You know what? I'll die on this hill. He's the worst GM. This market has ever seen, and we see some bad ones.
I mean, I love him. We love him. Gary St. Jean?
Yeah, they
have
I love Gary St. Jean. This is like, it hurts my soul to admit this.
They did have Gilbert Arenas.
They lost him.
Yeah, but it wasn't his fault.
Well, that was the Chris Cohen era,
Chris Cohen's fault.
Okay, I was just asking.
Yeah, it was Chris Cohen's fault.
Dude. I think I would rather have Trent Baalke right. run my team than Farhan.
Farhan had better ownership than Sain ever had.
I mean, Terry Donahue, rest in peace, was pretty bad.
I'll never forget calling into Dennis O'Donnell's show. What was the Bay TV? I called in and I said, the guy doesn't even live in the Bay Area, and he's running the San Francisco 49ers out of L.A.
Out of L.A.
He's full of baloney.
Terry Donahue.
Farhan Zaidi. Anybody else dying on that hill? Anyway, we get back to the NFL playoffs. Niner fans, 888-957-9570. Here's one highlight from the NFL playoffs over the weekend, and I wonder how the Buffalo Bills is going to stop this guy.
They get the two big stars back. Meanwhile, there goes Henry. There goes Henry all the way for the touchdown. 44 yards.
Derrick Henry hitting top speed, what, 21, 22 miles per hour? He ran for... This guy is going to be a problem next week in Buffalo. In that cold, it's going to be snow. I looked at the 7-day forecast. It should be snow flurries happening during that football game because it's going to kick off in Buffalo at 6:30 p.m. at night. So straight up night game. And then Philadelphia is going to kick off at 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock kickoff. So you may get the dust setting. You may get a little sunlight before turning into a night game. You know, we got a little dust setting game.
Did you? I know you said you kind of fell asleep during the Eagle game.
I woke back up and rewinded.
Packers fell asleep too.
Chess is like, Papa, I want to watch Miraculous Ladybug on the TV. So I grabbed the iPad, put the iPad up. And so I was laying on the couch and I'm like dozing off. I was dozing off. Like the crowd felt dead. Brady.
Not good.
Yeah, not good.
Well, I mean, he's working on interviews.
It's working very hard
for the silver and black.
Love that guy.
So I went back and I saw that. I was like, well, how did Green Bay get in this game? And I guess there was some drama for a little bit.
Well, I'll give you one name that I didn't know was in the league. But when I saw Oren Burks playing base defense for the Philadelphia Eagles, I was like, yeah, I don't think this team can win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, you know?
I'm just being real, B.
No,
and he had a big-time play. There's no way that Green Bay didn't pick up that ball. But Oren Burks on base defense?
Yeah, that whole review where they didn't give the ball back to Green Bay
was awful.
But he did have the hit. And I was like, Kevin Burkhardt said, Oren Burks had a hit, I said,
He's in the league?
I was like, I recognize that name. Oh, yeah, that was the guy in the Super Bowl. Fred Warner said, get your ass over here. And I'm yelling at Chasky. He can't even line up. Oh, there's Kelce wide open. Key third down.
But over and over again.
So, yes, if he's playing in place of N'Kobe Dean, they better look at the free agent market, try to get one of these linebackers who's on the street. Anybody's better than Oren Burks. You will be in trouble. That's why I want to see this on the win. Go play Philadelphia and get these busters out of here.
So you're all in on Minnesota, the experience, huh? I never would have thought that you were a, you know, Kevin O'Connell, Sam Darnold guy.
I like Kevin O'Connell. I didn't say I was a Sam Darnold guy. I like Kevin O'Connell.
It's been a great story for Sam Darnold.
I love Justin Jefferson.
I'm happy with Sam Darnold.
I love Van Ginkle.
I'm happy with Jetta.
It's legit defense they got. That is true.
This is a huge. Can you imagine? We come in tomorrow morning, and we'll see what the Warriors do. But we come in tomorrow morning, and Sam Darnold lights up the Rams.
Well, do you imagine what Niner fans
is going to be thinking?
We put a lot of weight into these playoff games, and rightfully, like legacies are online. The margins are so thin in all these games. Don't you wake up this morning and you look at Jaden Daniels a little different?
Even if you didn't watch all year,
didn't you wake up and go, wow?
Yeah.
Pretty impressive.
Well, I don't know if Niner fans really watched Jaden Daniels this year, but I think a lot of Niner fans maybe got a glimpse at him on Sunday Night Football a couple weeks ago in Atlanta. And I think maybe the shift happened there was like, oh, wait, Washington has something there.
He looks like the closest thing to Lamar Jackson in the league. I don't even think it's fair.
He's
putting them in the same sentence, but you could see
as Lamar Jackson wears the gold grills and the platinum grills during games.
Jaden's incredible.
He's incredible. No, there's no doubt about it.
But he's incredible.
He's that threat where it's like if you don't pay attention to him, he will break off a big run.
Exactly.
And just the threat of him leaving the pocket scares the living daylights out of the team. So that's why I can't wait to see what Eric Lynn has cooked up for Jaden Daniels in Washington Saturday evening in Detroit.
And so, like, you're talking about Sam Darnold. I think with a big performance, we could wake up tomorrow morning, and I think a lot of people would feel similar to how, again, not exactly the same, but you'd feel, wow, Like, I'm really impressed with Sam Darnold. Or he goes out there and kind of stinks it up, and you're looking at him the way you look at Jordan Love and Justin Herbert this morning, which is not at that level that yet.
If Darnold goes out there and goes like 22 or 29, 283, three touchdowns, you don't think we're going to get calls tomorrow saying the Niners should go all in on Sam Darnold and trade Brock Purdy for picks?
I think there's going to be Minnesota Viking fans saying trade J.J. McCarthy and sign Sam Darnold long term.
Now, these two teams faced each other earlier in the season on Thursday Night Football, and the Rams outlasted the Vikings 30-20, but you had that atrocious no-call in the end zone where Darnold got the face mask pulled by Young, and they didn't call it, and the Rams basically got it. What, did they get a safety on that play, I want to say? And they ended the game there, and they were up 28-20. But they really ran the ball down the Vikings' throats in that football game. Stafford, 25-34, 279, four touchdowns, and again, they're going to be playing with heavy hearts. Heavy hearts down there in Glendale, Arizona. So I don't know where to go with this game. I really don't, but Niner fans, how closely will you be watching Sam Darnold, if any? 888-957-9570. How closely will you be watching Sam Darnold? And is there anything, do you feel better about your situation, 49er fans, after watching this weekend of Wild Card Weekend? You look around the league, like the Chargers, we'll see about them. The Denver Broncos, we'll see about them. Lamar Jackson, Baltimore, on a different level. Buffalo's on a different level. But after watching Green Bay, look very vanilla on both sides of the football. Philadelphia did not look impressive in that football game outside of Saquon Barkley.
Well, it's interesting that you bring up Philadelphia, because I'm looking at all the quarterbacks and I'm comparing them to Brock, right? Because it's natural. I get people comparing everybody to Brock. Like Josh Allen and Lamar, they're in their own like category.
They're the go-to-four.
Right?
Part of the go-to-four.
You know, I never seen Brock Purdy have a performance like Justin Herbert had. Now, there's context. Herbert doesn't have a lot of weapons, but he looked pretty bad.
Yeah.
He looked pretty bad. I think it's pretty fair to say. But Jordan Love looked pretty bad. You know, I didn't think he looked good at all, really.
No, Jordan Love did not look good.
Okay. Jaden Daniels looked really good. No, really good. And for your first ever game on the road in the playoffs, like that was, I'm impressed. He can go out and lose 49-0 next week, and I'll still feel really good about
it. You know what? Baker Mayfield looked pretty good. He was 15-18 yesterday.
So I had him written down. You thought he looked good. I thought so, too.
He's a tough SOB, man. That fumble is kind of, he took the responsibility. So Baker Mayfield had an excellent season.
And he had a great run, which galvanized them.
Into the first half.
Yeah. And then CJ Stroud, I thought we had talked about this going into the weekend. I thought CJ Stroud had a really nice performance that kind of washes away some of the stuff from the regular season, because we know the playoffs, everything's elevated. Your regular season can become moot with two bad picks. You know, or your regular season can be looked at side-eyed if you underperform and then you elevate yourself in the playoffs.
What about Bo Nix?
See, I think Bo Nix, I look at him and I go, I don't think he lost them that game. I'm really encouraged about where he is as a player. He won me over this year.
I don't know if he lost him that game, but boy, he
looked like a rookie.
Yeah, he looked like a rookie not to be able to convert on third down. That's the biggest thing. You need quarterbacks to convert on third down. He did not play well on third down. Jay Daniels did. I thought Baker at times, Tampa Bay was like 5-9 on third down. The only problem was Washington would hold on to that football and eat clock, which is what they're going to have to do against Detroit next week. And you see the theme here in the playoffs, ball control, take the eye out of the football, keep your defense off the field, minimize their opportunities offensively. It's strategy has been going on for many, many years in the NFL. But Bo Nix only walking out of that game with 7 points. I thought they left a lot on the table. So I don't know about Bo. I'm very, like, Bo Nix in year two intrigues the living heck out of me. What do they add? Will they get a running back? Will they be, you know, will they try to trade up for Ash and Jinty? Because they need a running back in Denver. They need a tight end. Their defense is pretty set. We'll see if they lose Vance Joseph. They have some key free agents, no doubt about that. But I feel, after that weekend, do you feel better about having Brock Purdy as your quarterback, or do you feel worse about having Brock Purdy as your quarterback? 888-957-9570 is the number. You know, somebody on the text line, Brock Purdy ain't making that Bo Nix throw. Is he or is he not?
I thought that Bo looked like a guy in his first start on the road in the playoffs. But I didn't think that I didn't think he played, you know, so bad. I think that Buffalo's that good. Like, that's kind of where I was going down. I looked at the Jalen Hurts performance, and it kind of reminded me of a few Brock playoff performances. Nothing egregious,
yeah.
Right? I thought he managed the game really well. Missed some throws that could have put that game away, I feel like, a little earlier. But I, like, again, I'm iffy on Jalen Hurts, but I understand why they paid him. And I understand why he's a quarterback. And he might just be the right guy for that environment.
Seeing him in that Super Bowl, do you give him more clout because of the way he played against Kansas City in that Super Bowl?
Oh, he absolutely was. Well, he was dominant that whole year.
Yeah.
But that game, how could you not come away impressed, even though he had some turnovers that cost them?
Now he's got a legit coordinator, Kellen Moore. He's had a solid season. We know what he could do with his legs. In Philadelphia, it doesn't seem like they don't ask him to do a lot in the pass game. It's a lot of power slants. It's a lot of hitches, comeback routes, out routes, fade routes, deep balls, deep post. But I did like his paces on that first touchdown. Show up paces in the pocket. He sat there. They gave him great protection. And then he fires one into the back of the end zone to Jock Dotson. So he's fine. But this is a big game coming up for him in the divisional run. They're all big. Philadelphia wants to win the Super Bowl. They have a roster that's Super Bowl worthy. But are we feeling better about Brock Purdy? Because I know a lot of Niner fans watched it through the Brock Purdy prism. There's a lot of conversation. Well, Brock Purdy's better than this guy. Wait, are you serious? Brock Purdy's better than that guy? I would rather have Brock Purdy than this. How are we feeling about Brock after watching the weekend of playoff football? And that's why I think a lot of Niner fans also are reserving judgment for tonight, when they see Sam Darnold against the LA Rams, a team that we see two times a season, Sean McVay, Matthew Stafford. Niner fans, I think, are going to be heavily invested in tonight's game.
I think you're right. The one thing that I was looking at with all the quarterbacks, I didn't hear anything about any of them coming into the game banged up, which is kind of rare. Typically a quarterback
other
might come
Hurts,
in. What?
Other than Hurts.
I guess Hurts. No,
and then,
you're right,
then you had Jordan Love with the elbow.
But you know what I mean? Sometimes guys have a leg, they got a shoulder, they got ribs or whatever. I thought a lot of these teams had opportunities to give quarterbacks rest down the stretch, and you got some of their best shots. You're right. Jalen Hurts is actually the one guy that did come in.
And then Jordan Love, too, he had the elbow, remember?
Jordan Love was banged up all year.
Yeah.
But I didn't think he played well all year either.
I don't think so. I think he regressed.
Yeah.
I think he regressed. But also, I think we also need to take that situation in Green Bay and say, wow. Very similar to Brock Purdy in terms of turnover at the wide receiver position. You lose your deep threat before the wild card round. And I don't think highly of Christian Watson. I think he's underwhelmed since he's been in the league. He's dealt with a lot of injuries, particularly hamstring injuries. Now he's got a torn ACL. But a lot of their wide receivers were in and out of the lineup. So as a young quarterback, yeah, sure, you've got the running game with Josh Jacobs. But those timing routes, the communication, where are you supposed to be? Did I throw this interception because you ran the wrong route? Hey, where are we on the same page with this deep route? It just shows that continuity is key moving into the playoffs. I think with Buffalo is, they lost Keon Coleman, but Shakir's been in that lineup. He's been in that lineup. They've had their tight ends for the most part. They've had their running backs for the most part. Their offensive line has been intact. When you could go through the season and have your wide receivers playing at a high level, playing for most of the season, you need that continuity. So I'm going to stall Jordan Love out, although next season going into it, the hype on him, he's got to perform at a higher level. There's no doubt. He left a lot on the table. But also I look at the situation and say, boy, there's a lot of turnover at the wide receiver position. That's why I look at Brock Purdy and say, boy, that offensive line didn't do him no favors.
No.
And in the wide receiver position, didn't do him no favors either.
The other takeaway is special teams.
Oh, wow.
I mean, how could you not watch these games and not think about how poorly the Niners played special teams all year and think that, like, even if they had made it into the playoffs, they were going to lose this, like, one of these games, and special teams would have factored in heavily.
Mm.
You know, seeing, obviously, missed kicks, the doink that went in last night in that game, fumbles on kick returns. Like, all I kept thinking was, like, man, the Niners special teams was not good enough.
McManus. Missed a field goal. They could have made it 10-3 for right before half.
Yeah.
Misses a kick. Will Lutz missing that kick for Denver. You know, that doinker was loud.
Huh.
That doinker was loud in Orchard Park.
Can't believe that last one went in the Commander game. I thought there was, he's coming in,
right,
and he's doing this thing with his hair.
Well, no, did you see him? He was like putting on his tennis shoe. He had to put his sock back on. He had to put his tennis
total
shoes back
OCD.
On. Yeah, he was freaking out.
But like the other part is, and somebody else said this, you know, they took a knee. They went back like 3 or 4 yards.
Yeah.
If they went back 2 more yards, I don't think that ball goes in.
Yeah, no, it doesn't go in. 3 yards more. Like,
if, like, if they went backwards, one or two more yards.
If Tampa Bay makes a tackle on Jaden Daniels,
that's what I'm saying.
It is 5 yards.
I don't think he makes
How crazy is that? Oh,
the margins, man.
I did kind of want to see Tampa at Philly. I did. But also, their quarters got hurt. Their starting quarters had to go zone defense. They couldn't play man.
What's 35's
Deed?
Name? Dean, yeah. Yeah, they were Jamel attacking Deed. 32.
Here it is, 601. After playoff football, it reminds me that Purdy is mid. I still will take all those quarterbacks over him. Who is Herbert throwing to? Love throwing to? Is that what you saw this weekend, Niner fans? 888-957-9570. Did it remind you that Purdy's mid?
No,
I think actually for me walking in here this morning, I'm telling myself, boy, we're kind of lucky to have Brock Purdy at quarterback.
Yeah,
looking around the league,
I think so. But I also think that Brock should be looking at it, and he'll never view it this way because these guys all want to make the most amount of money. I gotta have talent around me.
Yeah,
I mean, like, I don't care how good you are, you gotta have talent. You saw the Packers lose one of their guards, and it was like changed
everything. So injuries happen. That's, and we look at the 49ers season. One injury can change the trajectory of your offense.
Well, and
it changes the entire game plan.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the point I've been trying to prove home. And look, I'm not trying to exonerate Purdy. Purdy had some missteps here.
I thought he had a down year.
He had a down year.
For his numbers.
He had down year. The Detroit Monday Night game, throwing those interceptions was awesome. Was awful. But you could also see that, boy, when you miss guys, things change a little bit. Things change. So, by the way, some breaking news in the NFL. Mike McCarthy eligible to talk to other teams after midnight Tuesday. There still haven't been any negotiations on a new deal with the Dallas Cowboys. It's now looking like Mike McCarthy will indeed become a coaching free agent, with Chicago and New Orleans both expected to be interested in sparking him. If I'm Mike McCarthy, I get the Chicago agent.
I actually think he'd be good with Caleb.
I think he goes to Chicago.
He's not a top like 6 or 7. He's a good coach, though.
I know.
He's a knucklehead when it comes to playoff stuff. But he will right the ship in Chicago.
He'll get you to the playoffs, is what they're trying
to
do. Yeah,
he's got a little Dusty Baker in him.
Dude, what? That's a good call. But he's got the ring already.
No, I know. But he's Dusty would lose fashion before the ring.
And Dusty took every team he managed to the playoffs.
He elevated them.
Cincinnati, Chicago. Washington and into that. Yep. So, Mike McCarthy, who would take that Dallas job? Who'd want that Dallas job? Are we looking at Coach
Deion Sanders?
Coach Prime?
Coach Prime? In Jerry's world?
He'd be doing those chunky soup commercials, not Dak.
Get to a little Warriors in a little bit here as we're talking playoff football. That's what's coming up, brought to you by Chilled Auto Body.
Nation, it's Steve Kerr. You're listening to The Morning Roast with Monte Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game. You better hit those brakes, Monte.
Steve, I'm trying, just like you. Get some wins out of this team. By the way, I like Pat Spencer. I'm not saying as a starting point guard, but as a role player in this team, his pacing, his decision-making, Pat Spencer's got a win to be over here.
You got to go the next step and pull a lake up. I think he has potential to be an all-star.
Well,
trades are hard.
Ironically, Pat Spencer may be a better fit with what the Warriors are trying to do. He's playing without thinking. Pods, when he comes back, he needs to play without thinking. Be a quicker decision-maker. Pat Spencer does it, man. He's a little tough. He's a gritty dude. He plays with an edge. No doubt about that. Warriors are Raptors
bouncy
today.
Too.
Yeah, he is bouncy. He'll get up and slam it on your head. He's got some athleticism, no doubt. 4:30 p.m. Warriors and Raptors. Xfinity Live. Tune in for Warriors Live, I should say, at 3:30 p.m. today. Early. Oh, look at Dibs and Willard. They don't have to do much of a show today. Must be nice.
Yeah, but I think Wednesday's game got kind of changed around.
It got pushed back to
the ESPN game.
Yeah, ESPN game, which I don't mind because the turnarounds on those East Coast games make your boy a little tired. But I don't mind that little, what is it? I think they moved from 5 to 6:30 on Wednesday. 6:30. So there's nothing going on Wednesday
night.
More Willard and Dibs. There you go.
You know?
More Willard and Dibs, as he'll talk some playoff football as well. Let's go to Gene and Oakland.
Oh, who cares?
Gene and Oakland will set us off here.
Willard was giving me betting advice yesterday. Did you guys see that?
Where? Online?
Yeah.
What was he doing? Wait, hold on, Uncle Gene. I got to hear about this now.
Let me pull it up.
Yeah, what is this betting advice?
I don't know, but I was just happened to be, you know, scrolling across. Here we go. Mark Willard. All right. New day, new picks. Use my code BANG for up to $1,000 in bonus cash and a free pick. Underdog partner, Underdog Fantasy. He did Jaden Daniels over 280 yards passing and rushing, and Bucky Irving over 110 yards rushing and receiving.
All right, well, let's check in on Mark Willard's bet here. Give me a drum roll, please, to see if he hit a bet yesterday.
Three likes.
Oh, Tally and likes.
What were the impressions?
Wait, wow.
My bad.
What would not have sold? Come on, Shasky. Jay Daniels did get over 280 receiving, rushing and passing yards. So Jay Daniels hit his bet. Now, did Bucky Irving?
110 receiving rushing.
He only had 83.
And receiving?
Yeah. 83 total yards for Bucky Irving. So Mark Willard did not hit that parlay.
He was not a great president.
I thought he was like talking to you like, yo, this you should make this bet, blah, 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 blah. And then Mark Willard's going off as we look down his timeline. The way coaches in the NFL hate the field goal sometimes is just beyond me. Teams are literally losing games because of their fourth down bravado.
You know what? Can I talk about that?
Hashtag field goals matter.
So... I hate kickers. Let me just admit this. I hate them. As a Niner fan, yeah, I discriminate against the kicking game. I don't like it. I think it's I get the game is called football. Yeah, nobody wants to see people come in and shank kicks. All right, I'm sorry. We just don't. I wonder, and Mark Grandy was putting this out last night on Twitter, and I agree with him on this thought process.
You're Dan on Twitter Quinn, a lot.
Dan Quinn went for it on fourth down and got stuffed at the goal line.
Yep.
I thought it was a signal to this whole team, like, we're trying to win this game. Yeah. A field goal, we're still down one or whatever right. It was in this game. We need a touchdown because they were down four, I believe, at the time. We need a touchdown. And they went for it, and then, you know, it didn't end up working out. They came back and boom, and got a touchdown right away. And I thought that it was a huge momentum swing. To me, there is a numbers algorithm where I do believe when you're that close, there's a time and a place to go for it. And I just wonder if teams are going to look at going for it. And this is Mark put this out, and I agree with him. Look, going for it in certain situations on fourth down, the way we look at the three-point shot, where it's like take two steps back, and if I shoot 33% from three, it's better than shooting over 50% from two because there's a baked-in advantage. I don't know, man. I feel like going for it on fourth down, There's something there.
Well, I would say this. When Washington didn't get it, I didn't mind them going for it.
I thought it was the right call.
Because if they do kick the field goal, they're still down. But if you don't get it, Tampa Bay is backed up inside their 5-yard line. So I could still play defense and force a punt and still have great field position to go back down and get points. So I thought it was the right move by them. They're saying, the hell with this. This is what we do. We go for it. I have Jaden Daniels, who's a two-way go. He's a run-pass option. It's going to put more stress on the defense. What do you think Philadelphia would have done? They would have gone for it. Going back to the NFC Championship game, a lot of people get on Dan Campbell. The Lions are up 24-10. Sure, they kicked the field goal. They're up 27-10. They're up three scores. But that's their MO is going for it. And actually drew up a play where the ball hit the wide receiver right in the chest.
Reynolds dropped the ball.
He dropped the pass. Yeah. At some point, we got to put it on players to execute the play. And when a coach empowers him, players on the field, you go ask every player in that locker room, any football player. I remember I played football, fourth and one. Let's go. We're going for it. We're getting this yard. We're getting this. The players will want to go for it. So if you say, you know what, I'm going to kick the field goal, you'll lose a little something from your team. How many times did Lamar Jackson look at John Harbaugh? Going back to, remember they had that crazy game in Seattle? And Lamar's like, we're going for it. John's like, you want to go? We're going for it, John. And they go for it, Lamar scores a touchdown. You need to empower your players at some points, especially in critical moments like that.
So they went for it four times in the red zone. Washington did. They punched in the McLaren touchdown at the end, and then they punched in another touchdown. I forget who got that one. It was another throw, but I forget who it was. Let's just say hypothetically, they kick field goals on all those fourth downs, and they make them all. That's 12 points. They scored 14, and they went 2-for-4 on the fourth downs where they scored touchdowns. So Like, there is a mathematical advantage. They scored two more points. So, I don't know, man. I like the way that they went for it. Everyone was going crazy. Better.
Yeah, when I watched them go for it, I was like, this is absolutely the right call.
Yes.
There was not one. I swear to God, watching that live, there's not one. I was like, they're going for it on fourth down. This is what Dan Quinn
and
does.
And they're on the road.
And they're on the road. You're in Tampa Bay. You may not get another opportunity.
Exactly.
Tampa Bay has the momentum. It's about stealing momentum back as well. So steal that momentum back from Tampa Bay. And even again, if you don't get the touchdown, they had to start their drive inside the 5-yard line. What are the odds of them going 95 yards and scoring a touchdown? At worst, they're going to make a field goal and go up 6, and you still have an opportunity to score a touchdown and win the game anyway with an extra point. So I like the whole thing. Shasky, I swear to God, this is the first time I'm hearing about this. There's not one moment when they went for it on that fourth down I said, yeah, don't go for it, punt it away, or kick the field goal.
Yeah.
Like, no, go for it.
Yeah, but I just think that everyone like, take the points, take the points, take the points. How many games I've seen the Niners kick a field goal on the 2-yard line and then regret it later on in the game? Yeah,
playing it safe.
Drives me nuts.
You're playing not to lose.
Yes, exactly.
That's basically what you're doing.
It drives me nuts. So, look, there's a time and a place for everything. No one's saying go for it on 4th and 21. You know what I mean?
How many likes did Grandy have on this tweet?
I don't know. I might have been one of the only ones. But I like Grandy's opinion. And I agree with him. I think that there's somebody who's smarter at math than myself needs to put out kind of like a big board on when and where to go for it on fourth down. I don't think the take the points crowd is right all the time. And I also don't think going for it on every fourth down is right. There's a feel. There's momentum. Who's your quarterback? Like, I have a lot of questions. Is my left tackle healthy? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
If I'm just getting drummed, beat to death on all these short plays – I don't know. There's more context that goes into it, but there is a mathematical advantage, and I like those kinds of things.
Let's see. Oh, Uncle Gene on hold. Uncle Gene, what's up?
Hey, guys.
What up, Uncle Gene?
Good morning.
Morning.
You hear me? Yeah. Yeah, hey, by the way, for the Niners going for field goals, anywhere in the field is not necessarily a safe bet anymore, right?
Seriously.
Right. Anyway, so I want to say something about your question. Am I going to watch Sam Darnold tonight? I am. You know, as I've said before, I think we should still consider him. Now, I know you've been down on people like us, Bonte. Although unlike Brian Baldinger a couple of weeks ago, who said he was ready to flip Purdy for Darnold, you know,
I've always said. Well, did he feel like that after Sunday Night Football in Detroit?
Well, I'm getting to that. So what I've said is I want to see how this guy does in the playoffs. And if you consider that Detroit game, let's say the first game of the playoffs, which it, you know, very much was like a playoff game. Yeah, it looked like he was seeing ghosts, right? So let's see how he does tonight. If he fails in the same way, hey, I'm out on him completely. But
no.
As far as Purdy goes, I mean, I'm 100% with you, Joe. I don't want to pay him too much because he needs a lot of help, and that's going to take a lot of money. So I got a question for you guys. What about an incentive-laden contract and, you know, like 35, 40, and maybe you can make 55
Uncle
or more
Gene.
If he meets the incentives?
Uncle Gene, I think that's what's going to take place anyway. I think they're going to build this contract in terms of having opt-outs and protection for the organization, knowing where his elbow and shoulder is at. So I think that's the way that's why when everybody's freaking out about whether he's getting 50 or 60 million, this is Parag Marate we're dealing with, Uncle Gene. They know more than us in terms of his health, the personnel around him, and how to build a winner. I think they're going to construct this contract to where it doesn't really kill them in 2025, and maybe that money hits them in the future, kind of like Brandon Ayuk and Nick Bosa. They will construct this contract in a way where it helps the team and it helps Brock Purdy. Now, in terms of like being down on Sam Darnold, I've always had a love-hate relationship with Sam Darnold. Sometimes he looks amazing. This goes back to his days at USC.
You love to hate him?
Well, both. USC. I swear to God, I watched a guy in the Pac-12 championship. He'd throw the worst interception. Like, what the hell was he? That's a first-round pick? And then the next possession, he'll lead up on a 99-yard drive where he throws it out the back of the end zone for 50 yards and a dime and flip the game. It's like, wow, I see why he's a top-5 prospect. I'm not down on everybody with Sam Darnold, but I just remember the rhetoric around Sam Darnold last season, and all of a sudden we're seeing him with the best wide receiver in football. As Uncle Gene said, Brock Purdy needs help around him. Folks, what quarterback doesn't need help around them? Honestly, What quarterback does not need help? John Elway could not win the big one, and he got a running game with Terrell Davis. And all of a sudden, he's got Rod Smith and Chris Ed McCaffrey going deep, and Mike Shanahan, and a great offensive line. Quarterbacks need help around them, folks. Since football's been played, quarterback needs talent around them. We say that about Brock Purdy like it's some sweeping indictment. Did you see Jordan Love yesterday? He needs help around him. Justin Herbert. What did a rhetoric around Justin Herbert? Boy, he could use another weapon or two around him.
There's only one quarterback I've ever seen at the college level, maybe two, that didn't need help around them because they would will their Cam Newton at Auburn,
yeah,
and Vince Young at Texas.
Yeah, there you go.
Right? Like, name another offensive player on those teams.
Well, Jamal Charles was a running back there.
I thought he got Texas. Hurt in that. Yeah,
he was. They had like Ramondre Brown. They had Jamal Charles. They had like a trio, but they didn't.
I love Jamal Charles.
Yeah, Jamal Charles was sick, but he was like a freshman on
that team.
That's
what I'm saying. Okay, yeah. So there we go. But again, even those guys, they needed some help, you know?
Right. Yeah. So it's not a suit. Like, Sam Darnold goes to a suit. Well, we see Sam Darnold. He was so great, right, with the New York Jets. What happened? Didn't have a lot of help around him.
He's throwing a James Crowder.
And we thought this guy should have been to the CFL after that Jets tenure. Then he goes to Carolina.
That was Trey Lance. This is going to be the biggest game he's played in, obviously.
Since the Rose Bowl, right?
Since the Rose Bowl. Yeah. And in that game, real quick, it's funny you mentioned that, because there's a lot of players in that game that you like, I completely forgot Chris Godwin went to Penn State. Going to be honest. Yeah. He was in that game. He had nine receptions for 187 yards.
Wow.
Yeah, you didn't know that, right?
That was a sick-ass game. I
didn't even know he went.
Mike Gesicki was in that game for Penn State. Yeah, Gesicki.
Mike Gesicki
was the worst gritty possible.
Penn State had Saquon Barkley, Chris Godwin, and Mike Gesicki.
Who was there?
The quarterback? Trace McSorley.
No!
Oh, my God.
Four touchdowns, three picks. But Sam Darnold in that game, 33 of 53, not very efficient, but he threw for 453 yards and five touchdowns. Ronald Jones was in that game. Juju Smith he was throwing to. Adoree Jackson was in that game as well.
I thought Adoree was going to be so much better.
I did too.
He's basically a glorified punter.
52 to 49.
It was a really fun game. I felt like the last kind of Rose Bowl that kind of like meant something without like the college football playoff.
Yeah, it's a fun game.
Oh, you're right.
Always a fun
game. It's always a fun game. So like,
who are you rooting for?
Who, tonight?
Yeah. Taking your Niner stuff off the table.
I was thinking about the better matchup next week. Who would be the better matchup for Philadelphia?
I'm rooting 100% for the Vikings. I want to see Minnesota fans continue to go on. I really am. Like, I like when a team that hasn't won a Super Bowl gets their opportunities.
I want to see, but I can't root for the Rams, although I know what's going on in L.A. and the tragedies and everything, but I can't root for I can't have McVay go to the second round, and I have to hear how he's a better coach than Kyle Shanahan and how people would die for Sean McVay and trade Shanahan. I don't want to go through that for another week. So I want the Rams out of there. I think they're a fraudulent division winner. If the Niners had their act together, they win this division going away. The Rams are frauds to me. Even though they won the damn Super Bowl, they were frauds that year. Damn it. Tukowski Card, just catch the damn interception.
They went on to win the Super Bowl and beat the Niners after being down 10 in the fourth.
Just catch an interception, for crying out loud.
Even though they won the Super Bowl, they're still frauds.
Hey. Can you replay what he just said? That is the most ridiculous sentence I've ever heard.
But you
they
know
were
what?
Frauds, even though they won the Super Bowl in the fourth. By the way, winning two games back to back, one being the Super Bowl, one being the NFC Championship game, where they were down in the fourth quarter.
Not only that, Shasky was with me though. He thought the Rams were dead, too. Don't worry.
And then I saw Jimmy.
We saw Jimmy overthrow George Kittle on the first third down of the game. It was like,
I'm afraid that it's going to have to be Jimmy Garoppolo that gets it done.
Dude, it's one of the greatest jobs ever. So, not only that, Rocco, your boy Rocco, goes, we got bad Jimmy today. Dude, he overthrew George Kittle and had him. And Niner fans were ready to erupt.
When we were having the Tomlin conversation earlier, like, I know Niner fans, they think fondly of Jimmy Garoppolo. But again, I think 20 years from now, we're going to look back similar to Rex Grossman, and we're going to be like, Kyle Shanahan got Jimmy Garoppolo to a Super Bowl? Like, I don't think people understand how horrible of a quarterback he's been since leaving the Niners.
Yeah, no, it's...
Am I wrong?
He was solid, though. He was solid.
Okay,
he
so was solid. Rex Grossman.
He was solid.
For the Bears.
The NFC, by that point, Jimmy was dealing with injuries, but he was bad. He threw the pick before halftime against Green Bay at Lambeau Field. And that's all I want to stall Jaworski Tart out, because he actually saved that game with a great tackle on Aaron Jones before halftime, which set up the block field goal right before halftime. You're just now 7-3. But Jimmy on first down, just throw it away, dude. And he throws it straight to a Green Bay Packer. And then just the NFC Championship game in LA.
I just sent my boy Martin. Those Instagram
memories.
No. You get these like Instagram ads, and somehow they know what you like, or at least they think they know what you like. Well, my boy Martin down in LA was wearing the sweatsuit.
I remember that. Yeah, the old 49 sweatsuit.
Sweating like crazy. I found a velour one, a tracksuit right here, Bonte. Look at this, a velour. And I said to him, I was like, "Hey, cop this for next year." To Martin, it's just this ugly Niner sweatsuit, like think Adidas tracksuit.
By the way,
but velour.
By the way, Draymond Green missed Warriors shoot around this morning against Toronto. He's under the weather, questionable for tonight's game against the Toronto Raptors with an illness and a lower back injury.
Back to football.
I thought he had a hurt finger from pointing the finger at all his teammates for stepping up when he needs to step up.
You are so down on Draymond Green, it's not even funny.
Voice from all the podcasting.
Oh, man. Wait, what was that?
Oh, my God.
What did he say?
He's got a sore voice from all the podcasting.
Hey, strep's going around.
What did he do, one podcast last week? And by the way, Zion Williamson got suspended for one game for being late to a flight. Something's going on in New Orleans. There's no doubt.
See, that wouldn't happen if he was on the Warriors. He would show up on time.
Well, depending on the airport, some Chili's are very good there. Maybe there's an Applebee's.
There is a Chili's in San Bruno, El Camino.
I think LAX might have an In-N-Out. Maybe he was getting a quadruple by quadruple.
Is that where New Orleans style was? 650, how could you guys not talk about the biggest sports topic today? Pitchers or catchers report in 30 days.
I'm pumped.
We did mention that at the top of the 8 o'clock hour. Yeah, Bonte mentioned it for about 4.5 seconds.
Yeah. I mean, what else do you want me to do? What's going on today? Blake Snable. You want us to do a segment on Blake Sable and his tenure with the Jets?
Your top five Blake Sable moments. Go.
See an article.
Him getting DFA, number one.
MLB, the total salaries across the league are down $1 billion. And it was basically like if you weigh all the contracts, even though there's been a lot of contracts that have been spent, like everybody's down in spending because of the regional sports network uncertainty and the 16 teams that were with Bally's and not knowing how much revenue they're going to get. And it was interesting.
A lot of teams moving to the FanDuel sports networks.
Well, this is just my gut feeling. Amazon's going to gobble up all the Major League Baseball stuff because they've been broadcasting all the Yankee stuff. And I think you're going to get a homogenized, similar to the way the NFL is, where you just have everything all on the Amazon Prime app.
Damn Rams. I'm looking back at that Super Bowl run. They were 7-4. Beat the Jaguars. The Rams are frauds to me. Even though they won the damn Super Bowl, they were frauds that year. Damn it.
Even when they won the Super Bowl, they were frauds that year, damn it.
They got so hot in December.
That happens. That does happen sometimes.
They won 5 in a row. Then they lost that game to the Niners at the end of the regular season.
Super Bowl winner.
I'm with Bonte on this because I feel the same way about Eli Manning and those Giants teams. You should not have beaten frauds. That Patriots team was the greatest I've ever seen. I don't care. Frauds.
But you do catch lightning in a bottle and get these fluky-ass runs.
So the Ravens, when Joe Flacco beat the Niners, they're frauds.
They're not frauds, but boy, what a fluky run that was.
Joe Flacco.
What a fluky run that
was. I hate him so much.
And you know what? I remember that game. And at the time, I remember sitting there watching that game, and there was a point in the third quarter where it was a 3rd and 5. And this is Peyton Manning, folks. And they decided to do a halfback draw, and they got stuffed and punted. I'm going, 3rd and 5, Peyton Manning decided to run the football? Are they playing not to lose? And they just let Baltimore hang around. Raheem Morris. Who was his name? Raheem Moore was his name for Denver? The Mile High Miracle.
Flacco threw the bomb over.
It was the Mile High Miracle. The Mile High Miracle. He just chucked it. The Jacoby Jones, rest in peace. And they win it overtime. So, yeah, the Rams, too, they did get hot, though. They beat the Ravens down the stretch in Baltimore. They beat Minnesota in Minnesota.
But it was fluky.
They got hot. They looked so bad at Levi Stadium.
Raheem Moore, Mike Adams, Raheem David Bruton.
Raheem Moore. Then they went down to Tampa. Remember, they beat Brady in Tampa. Devils blew that game. Ah, we thought the Niners were going to Tampa Bay to go Jimmy Garoppolo and Tampa against Brady. How would that have worked out?
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. Would we have taken that flight to Tampa? How would we have gotten to that game? Would Boxer Gerson have sponsored us?
I don't know. Would have been on the Oregon Trail.
Damn, Stafford in that game, 28-38, 366, two touchdowns. Cooper Kupp, 9 for 183. Brady, 30 of 54, 329. But Mike Evans started going crazy. Gronk. Oh, man, what a time to be alive. What a time to be alive. So, no, as G says, I'm down on all the people who are on us. No. Not down on you guys on Sam Darnold at all. But are you sure you want to give Sam Darnold long-term money? The same worries we have about Brock Purdy. How would that look with Sam Darnold? Would you want an incentive-based deal there with Sam Darnold? Would anybody be open to that? Or does this... Would the opinion change tonight if Sam Darnold lights it up?
Can I just see it and then I'll have
tonight,
more of a
feel? Sam Darnold balls out, you know what's going to happen.
Oh,
tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know what's happening
especially
as soon as that
if
game's
he hits
over.
A couple deep balls.
Oh, my God. By the way, can I just look at the Warriors and everything?
Yeah.
Online, there's like a war going on. There's a war on the radio when it comes to Brock Purdy, Kyle Shanahan, and all the quarterbacks.
What's
there's
the
a war? There's a war when I'm going to get there.
Okay.
Just be patient, my young lad. There's a war going on when you walk the streets and people talk about Brock Purdy. I heard Craig from Muni or yesterday, Molly Sells has overheard him. He goes, is that just, wait a minute, Bonte, I'm a roaster. He's an OG roaster, had the big cigar. They're talking Purdy or whatnot. So the conversation's going on. And then you have online where you get the online guys where the Purdy truthers who are like, as soon as Herbert threw four picks, they couldn't wait to say, yeah, Brock Purdy's better than Justin Herbert. It's not even close. And then you get Jordan Love. And then you got the other people who are saying, no, Brock Purdy's not in the same category. So there's this war going on online about who should be the quarterback for the 49ers and who's better than who. And it's quite ridiculous, to be honest with you. All these numbers, DVO. Like, there's a dude who threw up a graph. I swear to God, I had no idea what half the stuff meant. It was like CPOE. ROE, MTS. I'm just making up abbreviations now, but you get my point. I was like, what the hell does all this mean? You have to explain, you have to basically go through a science project to explain who's good at quarterback? No, just
please
use
explain.
Your own two eyes.
I mean, I see the way people talk about Josh Allen. Hey, he's a loser. He can't win anything. And I'm like, let me just read you his playoff stats. He's 6-5. That's what his record is. 3,600 yards passing in those 11 games, which means he's averaging over 300 total yards, 29 touchdowns, 7 turnovers.
Oh, who cares?
Lamar Jackson in his 7 playoff games, only 2,000 yards, so 1,500 yards less games though, 11 touchdowns, 9 turnovers. Again, Josh Allen, 29 touchdowns, 6 turnovers.
So, SF Data Niners, because you're right, Josh Allen is not a loser, and
he
I think
is. He
he's
made one of the sickest plays I've ever seen in my life, spun out,
right.
Like scrambled around, was looking downfield, threw off his back foot, a frozen
a
rope to a guy who made one of the sickest catches.
In the back of the end zone.
Big play here, trying to go up top for it.
He wants to run for it, Jim. He wants to just go get it with his legs. He's trying to find
it. It wasn't there, so now he's got to throw it deep to the end zone. And was that caught? Yes! Ty Johnson scrapes it off the ground, above the ground for the touchdown.
That was one of the sickest plays I've ever seen. Yep. It's like a top 25 play right. For him.
So, SF Data Niners, shout out to them, because I'm sure they work hard. Yeah, Jim Dad, CBS. so, Tony Romo, CBS, Jim Dad, CBS. But SF Data Niners, I'm sure they work hard at this stuff, so I don't want to demean him and his account. I'm not doing that right now. But this is where I may need Kyle Madsen to call in at some point, because he knows all this stuff. Career stats, Purdy versus Love, and it has EPA/play. Now, I don't even know what the hell that stuff means. EPA/play. CPOE. ADOT. Quarterback rating, TD interception ratio, bad throw percentage, percentage to sack or pressure to sack percentage. Yak, like just all, like, we're breaking down quarter. What the hell is CPOE? What the hell is ADOT? What the hell is EPA? Should I know this stuff? Like, is it criminal that I, Vontae Hill, on these airways, do not know what this stuff means?
Let me ask you this.
Like, honestly, CPOE.
Do you need that data to tell you Patrick Mahomes is awesome?
Yeah, I know.
I don't care if Patrick Mahomes has thrown 700 interceptions in any given game. If he has the ball and he's down one score, he's winning.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Simultaneously. I'm watching Russell Wilson. You could throw all the data in the world, and I don't even know if this supports it, that says he's good. He's not good. He's not good. He's done. He's washed. He's finished. They're cooked.
Mm.
I don't need the numbers to tell me when my eyes and my gut are already telling me what I'm watching.
It's just crazy that we're using all these, especially in the game of football. In the game of football, where if you look at all these teams in the playoffs, what do? They simplify everything. We're going to run the ball. Stay ahead of the sticks, stay out of third long situations, and try to force punts.
Yeah.
Basic, simple, they're simplifying everything. We don't need, what the hell, what is CPOE? Can somebody look that up?
What is
all this stuff?
This is, now we're opening another can of worms. I personally believe social media is making certain people mentally ill. And I don't say that lightly. No, I mean that sincerely. Oh, no. Whether it's teenage kids, whatever, like, I really believe that there, social media is...
No, I would say that. I would say...
I think it's very toxic.
I would use a different term to that. I don't want to, you know, I'm not going to go that route. But I would say social media gives people a false sense of...
Reality?
Reality, and it distorts, you know, everybody's like, you know, I'm smarter than you. And here, I can prove it to you online by tweeting this stuff out and giving you all these data points and blah, 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 blah. And you can, like, numbers, I learned this when I was a writer. You can take a number and build a narrative around it and force feed it to people and say, this is why X player is great because of these numbers right here. I could find numbers to manipulate any conversation in a sports argument. But that's why I tend to go away from numbers and not mention a lot about numbers. See, just use your own two eyes. So when I started writing stories and I got deeper and deeper into the journalism game, I started using less numbers in my stories, saying to myself, hey, all these dumbass data points or whatnot, just watch the game. Tell the story without, can you tell a story without bringing up numbers? And I think that's what separates good journalists and good broadcasters as opposed to the guys who are trying to force feed CPOE. Now, the 510 has said CPOE. Can player operate everything?
I mean,
EPO.
No, that's not what it is. It's completion percentage over expected.
I mean, come on, man. Like, what
did you hear the Bob Costas quote on, he was talking about baseball, but he says it's bled into basketball and it's kind of ruined basketball. And the same thing in football. He said that statistics should be used to illuminate, right? Like a lamppost. Instead, statistics are used almost the way a drunk uses a lamppost to support themselves. Mm-hmm. And it's being used backwards. Yeah. And I thought that was such a great analogy.
More on CPOE real quick for those of you who are listening right now. Are like, oh, what is that? So comparing raw completion percentage does not tell us much about a quarterback's accuracy or performance. This is where we can use CPOE, which adjusts for contextual factors that make a pass more or less likely to be completed, such as field position, down, yards to go, air yards, distance to six, like all this different stuff they bake into it. I'm just letting you know.
This goes back to like baseball. Like, right. I have the same conversation with baseball. It feels like basketball. To like, is it a good shot? I don't care that you shoot 60% from the corner three. Like, is the guy in your face or not? Like,
right.
I feel like we've created statistics to allow people who don't know what they're watching and don't understand the fundamentals of sports to be able to regurgitate and have conversations and feel like they're involved. And some of these are a stretch for me best.
I agree. Like ADOT, 601 is telling me, and I believe it's 601, stands for average depth of target. Now, it's an average depth of target, but what if a guy is throwing 15-yard chuck plays all the time and then all of a sudden he throws a couple 2-yard passes or throwing behind the line of scrimmage, and all of a sudden you get to this average depth of target. And you're like, oh, look, he throws for this amount of yards on each pass attempt. Like, it's enough. Completion percentage is fine.
So you know
accuracy matters.
You know what exit velo is, correct?
Yeah.
So
they stuffed it down our throats over their last five.
Yeah. On coming off the bat, exit velo is a big deal. So if you play in Major League Baseball, okay, and you come up for a contract, there was a lot of arbitration meetings. All these guys want big exit velos to be able to say, "Hey, look at my exit velo. I'm a good player." Okay. Then you get to the playoffs. And you need to hit a ground ball to second base to get a run in. Well, that's going to lower your exit velo. But no one wants to do that because that doesn't help you win. And so this is where the numbers have actually ruined the winning in sports because guys know they get paid off the exit velo.